So the list of people we would allow to smoke in our studios near our expensive microphones, it's pretty short. But this guy's on there.
Real old-fashioned blues.
Cool, man.
That's guitarist Keith Richards of the Rolling Stones, lighting up in our New York studios as he spoke to my colleague, David Green.
Richards is now 71. His wild hair is all gray. And he's been busy the last decade or so. He's toured the world, wrote a best-selling memoir, and also a children's book. But one thing he hasn't done is cut new music with the Stones.
I was sort of a bit of a loose end, and I realized there's one thing missing out of my life, you know, the most important thing, recording.
So he did something he's only done twice before. He put out a solo album.
I made the first two because the Stones were in one of their hibernations. And basically, I probably made this one because the Stones were in hibernation at the time.
You were getting a little restless, and Mick Jagger hadn't called you and said, let's go out again.
Exactly. So. Don't know who I am,
but I got my name. Keith Richards does not seem to mind the solo work. He says he flexes different musical muscles than when he's working with Mick Jagger. Jagger and Richards, they're one of popular music's most successful songwriting duos. But things have been famously rocky between them at times. For this new album called Cross-Eyed Heart, Richards called up his other group of pals from his solo band, The Expensive Winos. He has his share of war stories with them, too.
We managed to set a bathroom on fire in the Playboy Mansion.
Okay.
We didn't notice the curtains had caught fire while we were just sitting around in the John and smoking shit.
Stories like that bring to mind your life, and you've talked about sort of being dogged by your old image and your years past.
Yeah, I don't mind it. In a way, I think it's almost an honor. Even if it's not the whole you, you know, I mean, it's like old Keith, you know. And that's what people have really given me, that freedom to never say yes, sir, to anybody unless I want to.
The writer, David Remnick, wrote that somehow the Grim Reaper was not invited backstage with you and that you are somehow immortal. Are you immortal?
Of course I'm not. But I love the idea of it, don't you? I mean, I wouldn't mind being, but I don't know if I could handle all of the stress and memories at 150 years old. But I've defied other people's version of mortality, I suppose.
You wrote in your book that sometimes I miss my friend, and that was referring to Mick Jagger, and this was a number of years ago. And it makes me wonder, how are things today? How are you two getting along?
I think the relationship is actually still in flux and still growing. I mean, it isn't fixed. You know, sometimes he can get up my end, you know, and I've no doubt that I can certainly piss him off sometimes. At the same time, there's a chemistry between us that we both recognize and that we know that works. But in a way, we're both trying to sort of come to terms with each other. I mean, most guys, you know where you're staying with. Mick and I both don't know quite how we stand with each other, and we never have.
The album opens with a real old-fashioned blues number.
Ooh, I love my sugar, but I love my honey too.
Wasn't it a love of the blues that brought you and Mick Jagger together in the very beginning?
Absolutely, yeah. And it was what brought all of the Stones together at the beginning. A burning desire to turn London onto what these guys in Chicago were doing and had been doing for years. I don't know, cause I'm sad of blue. I just wanna make love to you, baby. Love. At that time, at 18, 19 years old, you know, you're still very idealistic. People should know about rhythm and blues, and we'll do our best to give you our version of that. And it bloody well happened. You know?
Yeah, it wasn't long before the Stones were playing with the very guys who inspired them. Blues greats like Buddy Guy and Muddy Waters. On a memorable night in 1981 at a Chicago club, Waters was performing. The Stones knew they would be called up on stage, and they came ready.
Let's dress for business, you know. White shirt, a black vest. So we're going to be on stage with Mighty Man, you know, and this is serious. I mean, I didn't realize this till later. These guys, they were incredibly grateful for the Rolling Stones because we revived interest in the blues in America.
Well, I do want to tell you, Buddy Guy told us that very thing when we interviewed him recently.
Oh, he did?
He's a great, another amazing bluesman.
Okay, so we connect.
Well, I want to play you a little bit of tape. It was from when we interviewed Buddy Guy, and he was basically describing Muddy Waters on his deathbed. He had been diagnosed with cancer. No one really knew how sick he was. And this is how Buddy Guy described that moment to us.
He was profane. I can't say what he said.
Okay.
He said, y'all just keep playing that MF and blues, and don't let that blues die, and I'm fine. And the next couple of days, I think, that's when I got the call from the media and asked me, how did I feel about he had passed?
You keep playing those blues.
Yep.
Have you
don't let the blues die. That's what he said.
Man, that is incredible. Yeah. Bringing me to tears here. Yeah. Oh, I mean, Muddy Waters turned us on, and we just thought we'd do, pardon the pun, a pale imitation. I mean, that was the whole beginning of it, was just to do that. But I mean, you had no idea that, you know, in the meantime you were going to revive the blues in America. I mean, that was, you know, come on, you couldn't write that script.
Keith Richards, thank you. It's really been a pleasure talking
to
you.
Hey, David, thank you very much.
Well, Irene, good night.
David Green with Keith Richards. His new album, Cross-Eyed Heart, is out today.